One, two, three. Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice with me, your host, Zach Yenser. As Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 every morning, we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, we debate, we discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting us there. Got a good show for you today. We shifted our week a little bit. Normally, during our Tuesday show, we talk about ideas, trends, things in the news that could have a big impact on Tucson's future. And we kind of did that, but we spent the whole hour with Superintendent Gabe Trujillo, TUSD Superintendent. By the way, if you missed that hour, we spent the whole hour together talking TUSD. You can find that podcast recording kvoi.com/podcasts or on Google Play Music or iTunes. Quick plug there for you to listen to the full interview if you haven't already. But we kind of missed our usual one or two items of that day where we talk about some things that, like I said, could have a big impact on Tucson's future. So that's how we'll start the hour. We'll do about the first half of the hour talking about people staying in their homes longer. It's a good thing, but there are also some unintended consequences of that. I'll tell you what those are and what it means for housing and costs and what that means to us here in Tucson. And then I want to talk about the youth voice, the Arizona we want. I'm excited to be an advisor to the Center for the Future of Arizona for their young talent progress goals in Arizona. And I want to share some data points about what young people 18 to 39 are saying in our city and our state. And then at the bottom of the hour, I'm excited to welcome Edward and Danny in to the studio to talk about a new partnership that brings equity crowdfunding to Tucson, a new way to get businesses and entrepreneurship started in the city. So let's dive in. We have a lot to go. So I wanted to share this bit of news with you, because when I talk to people like Marcos Ismael at the Pima County Housing Center about the state of housing, both rental and home ownership in Tucson, we see what I'm going to tell you about here in the city, and it's relevant. And you know, one of the items we talk a lot about on this show is housing in the city overall. And I don't just mean affordable housing, but housing affordability, the ability to access housing at a reasonable rate that matches costs and matches what people are actually getting paid here. But this is an interesting note. People are staying in their homes longer, reports the Wall Street Journal. A big reason for slower sales. Get this, homeowners nationwide are staying put an average of 5 years longer than they did in 2010, a new analysis shows. They write, U.S. homeowners are staying in their residences much longer than before, keeping a glut of housing inventory off the market, which helps explain why home sales have been sputtering. Homeowners nationwide are remaining in their homes typically 13 years, 5 years longer than they did in 2010, according to a new analysis by real estate brokerage Redfin. When owners don't trade up to a larger home for a growing family or downsize when children leaves, it plugs up the market for buyers coming behind them. Read into that, especially new and younger home buyers. If people aren't moving on, there just are fewer and fewer homes available for new home buyers. So the cities with the longest length of time lived in homes, they talk about Salt Lake City, Houston, Dallas, Austin, L.A., Worcester, Massachusetts. More homeowners staying put has helped cause housing inventory to dwindle to its lowest level in decades, which has also helped, get this, are you ready, push up prices on homes for sale. It's simple math. It's the economy stupid, where you have at some level where you have excessive demand, not enough supply, not enough new supply coming on the market, either because of turnover or because of new housing, then prices go up, adjusted for population, get this, this number is amazing. The inventory of homes for sale is now near the lowest level in 37 years of record keeping. Fewer homes for sale is a big reason why even ultra-low mortgage rates, record levels of home equity, and a strong job market have not jump-started the sluggish housing market. Now, you know I'm the generational guy, right? I'm all about generational collaboration. So this is a quote from Wall Street Journal, but it's important. So hear me on that. Economists say aging baby boomers are the biggest culprits because many are staying healthier later in life. Okay, this is me breaking out of reading now. Yay, that's awesome. And choosing not to downsize. Some look around at the lack of smaller, less expensive homes and are loath to get into bidding wars with their children's generation to get one. So I'm not going to read the whole article, but some really interesting numbers there where we're seeing older homeowners stay healthier longer, which is great, living and aging and staying in place, which is also good, but we're also seeing some of the lowest inventory that we have in 37 years. So when I, Zach, here in Tucson, talk about the fact that, hey, guys, we've got a growing problem, right? For a year and a half on this show, we've been saying, hey, SOS, there's a problem. We don't have enough inventory. We have too much demand. Housing costs are going up. Wages are not. That gap is getting bigger. That's not just backed up by some dude with a gut hunch behind a mic. We hear this again at our local Pima County level. Now we hear it nationally. I think it's a crunch that we're really going to have to watch out for. One more thing on this that I wanted to mention before we go to break, and we can continue conversation on this a little bit in the next segment. But I think it's also important to talk about how building costs have been in a steady incline for the last 5 to 7 years. So we look at the year 2013. Turner Construction's building cost index increased by about 25% since the beginning of 2013. And this is due to labor costs being on an upswing. The unemployment rate ended at 5.9% in 2017. There is just a demand for construction laborers this is good news if you want to get into the construction industry. There's jobs to be had, but labor costs have increased for construction and for development, as well as material costs. Material costs have gone up. So we're in this, I wanted to kind of connect the dots a little bit. We're in this weird space where our current housing stock, we have more people staying longer, growing older in their homes, not turning those homes over, not wanting to downsize, and an inability to be increasing supply. I bring this up because this is no longer a San Francisco problem. This is no longer an Austin problem. This is no longer even a Phoenix problem. This is going to be an every city problem. Something has to shift. Something has to work out. When you talk to people who leave cities and leave states, the stereotype is taxes and regulation. And there's a huge element of truth to that. A huge piece of the puzzle is that. But when you dig under the surface, we lose talent, we lose out on business, we lose out on appropriate economic growth when our housing market is out of balance. That's statewide, that's nationwide, and it's a growing Tucson problem, and we're gaining data to back it up. We are no longer out of the mix on this issue. And this is including growth in housing on the south side of Tucson and on the east side of Tucson. We're still seeing a bit of a struggle in the city of making sure that we've got housing stock that is affordable to the median wage worker. So we'll cover that a little bit more on the way back, but also I want to talk about what young people in Tucson, Arizona say they need and want out of the state to stay here. Can they move up without moving out? We'll talk about it after the break. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, welcome back into the studio. You're listening to the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser, talking about the issues and people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. I want to kick off by thanking our sponsor of this segment, Vantage West and the Thrive Series. It's been an honor here in 2019 to get to interview the business leaders from diverse community organizations discussing the ins and outs of what it takes to run a successful business in Tucson and how being community-minded has helped them to be more competitive. I've gotten to sit down with the Ignite Sign Art Museum, Barrio Bread, Hotel McCoy, and the latest episode with Michael Strausser from Pure Metal. You can watch the latest episodes by going to vantagewest.org/ThriveAZ. Thanks to Vantage West Credit Union for their commitment to helping our community thrive. And again, you can go to vantagewest.org/ThriveArizona to see all 12 of those episodes I had the pleasure of hosting this year. There's so many people and companies and businesses doing good work in Tucson. The Gap is telling their stories. I heard that about a year ago, and I rolled my eyes, I'll be honest, because as you've probably gotten to see, if you listen for more than a week or two, I love the nitty-gritty. I like the policy side of things. I like to talk about big ideas shaping Tucson's future. When someone told me, Zach, we just don't have enough storytelling in Tucson, I rolled my eyes. But I found it to be true that when we don't talk about the businesses, the people, the enterprises, the organizations, the initiatives that are moving the ball forward in Tucson, when we don't do that, we don't have the stories, the momentum, the ideas to keep going. So I'm happy to serve in that way. I've become a little bit less cynical about we need more storytellers. I believe it, and I'm trying to be one. So if you want to see that in action, one more time, vantagewest.org/ThriveAZ. Thanks, Vantage West Credit Union. Well, I'm excited to share that I was asked this week to be an advisor to the Center for the Future of Arizona when it comes to their youth and young talent metric. There's a scary number that is actually from the Arizona Board of Regents. 55% of Arizona's undergraduate degree holders remain in Arizona after 10 years. The number before that is upon graduation from our state universities, about 80% of Arizona's young people remain to start their careers, which means that less than half remain two decades after graduation. Again, this is from the Arizona Board of Regents. And Fletcher McCusker was on my show yesterday. He's the chair of the Rio Nuevo Board. He is the co-founder of UA Venture Capital. He's run many successful companies here in town. There's so many hats he wears, it's hard to remember the whole resume. But I had him in studio yesterday, and he said that, you know, Tucson, to the effect of Tucson may not be the place where people stay right after graduation, but we can be the place where they come in after a while. And I that's an area where I'm not sure I'm on the same page. I don't think it's good enough. And the data shows that actually that at least for the first maybe two, three decades after someone graduates from the U of A, they may not come back. Give me a call, 790-2040. Jump on the live line with me, Tucson, if you have a thought on that thought. Is it good enough for Tucson to not be a place that retains people right after graduation, but they come back two or three decades later? Is that good enough for Tucson? I'm genuinely curious. No wrong answer here, even though I've given you my personal opinion. Let me know what you think. Is that good enough? According to these numbers, again, by the Arizona Board of Regents, 80% stay right away, but only 55% of Arizona's undergraduate degree holders remain in Arizona after 5 years. So the Center for the Future of Arizona launched yesterday its reporting and its efforts on what they call their Young Talent Progress Meters. They've interviewed young people from all around the state to say, what does it look like? What needs to happen in Arizona for young people 18 to 39, right? Kind of that freshman, sophomore piece of college all the way up to 39 to stay in our communities. And I've talked about the conversation that we've had in Tucson around that issue, that question, and the resulting answers have actually stayed much of the same. Here was a thought that really struck me yesterday that one of the focus group participants throughout the last year and a half said that they fear that to move up, they're going to have to move out. That to move up, they're going to have to move out. That there's still this feeling, yes, even in Phoenix, here in Tucson, we look at Phoenix like the Holy Grail. Phoenix has its issues, for sure. And one of them is that even in Phoenix, so how much more so in Tucson, young people feel like, you know what, I can get a decent start. I can maybe, you know, grow in my initial entry-level career for 5 or 7 years. But if I want to move up, if I want to be finding mid-level jobs with mid-level wages, if I want to build not just a job, but a career, and if I want to build a family around that career, Arizona is not the place where I can make that happen. I'm just sharing, there is a pervasive feeling, and again, if in Phoenix, and certainly in Tucson, and we did hear it in Tucson, that Tucson is a great place to start. It's not a great place to continue and finish. That is a troubling, data-driven feeling that came out of, again, a year and a half by the Center of the Future for the Future of Arizona, focus groups all around the state, rural and urban. I'm going to have to move out if I want to move up. It's interesting. Again, this is Yuma. This is Flagstaff. This is Tucson. This is Phoenix. Themes that have emerged from discussion: cost of living, right? Housing. Investment in education, quality of public transit, diversity of community. Again, these were open-ended questions over the last year and a half. And I just wanted to say that the conversations we have here on the air about the next generation of thinkers, doers, and innovators in Tucson is a statewide response. It's not just Tucson. It's not just a section of Tucson. There are some common themes and common trends that seem to be popping out about what 18 to 39-year-old young professionals want out of their communities, out of Tucson, out of the state. Here's another number that came up as important. And this was out of the American School Counselor Association. The students in Arizona schools to guidance counselor ratios, right? So students to counselor ratios is 905-1. There's one guidance counselor to every 905 students in Arizona. That's the highest student-to-counselor ratio in the U.S. CFA reports an important factor in supporting young people to pursuing post-high school degrees or certificates is the amount of guidance they receive prior to graduation. School counselors can support this goal. However, Arizona has the highest student-to-counselor ratio in the United States. So just wanted to share a couple of numbers again, kind of we're doing our what if day 2 days late. Usually it's Tuesday, but what are the big themes, the big issues shaping Arizona moving forward? And we talked about housing in the first segment, and we're talking about in this segment young talent data insight. I'm looking forward to over the next year, again, as an advisor to the Center for the Future of Arizona, to flesh out these insights and then create some action around them locally. A friend of mine was asking today, how is Tucson doing on the brain drain? And I don't have as much data around this as I would like. There's a general sense that Tucson is retaining slightly more younger professionals than it was maybe in the earlier part of the decade. But we're nowhere near where we need to be yet. I'm curious, we're wrapping up this segment, but I asked a question earlier on in the hour. Should Tucson just own the fact that we're not going to retain young talent out of college, that we're going to be a place that people come back to after they've gotten far enough and high enough in their career? Do we just own that and say it is what it is? Or is that something that we think is important to move the needle on? I'm of the opinion that that's not good enough. But I'm curious to get your thoughts. So many of you have been here in the community for such a long time. 790-2040 is your live line opportunity to chime in on that. The Creative City Show at gmail.com is your other place to do that as well. In just a few seconds, I'm excited to shift gears and welcome in Danny Nee from the Community Investment Corporation and Edward Cruz from Go for Vertical to come in and talk about an exciting new partnership that just launched in Tucson to bring equity crowdfunding to Tucson. You can purchase equity in small businesses and startups to help them grow, and you can be a part of that on the back end. It could change the game in Tucson. Danny and Edward will come in to tell us why. We're going to go to the bottom of the hour news. Come on back. So much more to go here on the Creative City Show, 1030 The Voice. Tucson, welcome back at the bottom of the hour here on the Creative City Show, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We talk about the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future, envisioning, debating, and discussing the issues and themes critical towards getting there. I'm excited to turn the page on the first half of our hour and kind of pivot to something else. And I'm always amazed at how the shows we do connect to each other on accident. And I was just thinking, as I welcome Edward Cruz and Danny Nee into the studio here to talk about an exciting new partnership in Tucson, my conversation with Fletcher McCusker yesterday, one of the last questions that I asked him, I said, Fletcher, help me solve a debate. There's a debate in Tucson right now. And the debate is, do we have some great ideas that we don't have enough venture capital and funding to get started? Or do we have enough money in Tucson, just not enough qualified ideas? And I have friends on both sides of that debate. I said, Fletcher, what's the answer? Now, of course, he is one of the co-founders of UA Venture Capital. Even the newspaper got it wrong. He's will be funding 13 companies very shortly, will be in his portfolio. He said, Zach, I don't even need a time to answer. We've got great ideas, not enough money. And so that's our setup for this conversation today. I was excited to read last week that Tucson Nonprofit Community Investment Corporation recently announced it has teamed up with Startup Tucson and San Francisco-based crowdfunding platform WeFunder to bring equity crowdfunding and startup support to the Southern Arizona city of Tucson. Danny, Edward, welcome to the studio.
Thanks so much, Zach. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you.
Yeah, our listeners will recognize your voices separately, but this is the first time we've done this. We've done this all together. When startups are looking to start, and we'll start with Danny Nee, and then Edward is an entrepreneur that gets to be a part of the benefit of this. There's friends and family funding. There's angel investment. There's some kind of like really low hanging fruit, and then some really big fruit to go for. There's kind of a missing middle in terms of some more rapid ways to raise funding for your small business or your venture. You saw that missing middle in Tucson, Danny Nee, and what did the Community Investment Corporation work on to fill that?
So we did see that gap, and the way that I occasionally put it is that step for entrepreneurs can be the first step to getting to the type of funding you need to really launch your early stage business is about 25 feet high. And that's tough for anybody to climb. And so what we've been trying to do is to make more incremental steps in between to help the entrepreneur, the founder, get their businesses off the ground. So what we did is we worked with WeFunder. They are a crowdfunding equity. That's primarily what they do. They crowdfund equity investments. So it's basically like a Kickstarter, but for equity investments, and got them to bring their platform here. It's an interesting approach because, you know, crowdfunding is all about the number of people that you can reach. Yep. They have a national, even an international reach. And what we're doing is we're actually doing a little bit of the reverse, and they see the value in it too, which is to now take something that's that broad and also localize it. One of the things that I've always said is if you wanted to support a local Tucson business, unless you're a desert angel, you know, angel funder or a VC, the way you do it is you go buy their coffee, you go buy the retail, you go eat at the restaurant. But there isn't a way for regular people to support local business in that more traditional way of actually becoming a shareholder, having some ownership. And so this partnership is going to allow that. It's basically going to allow people, unaccredited investors, for people who don't know what that means. An accredited investor is somebody who basically has $1 million of net worth, not including their home or the property. So these are people, regular people like you and me, unless I don't know something about your salary, Zach, that's higher than that.
You're good to go.
Okay.
Check back in a year.
Yeah. So it's basically people can invest as little as $100 to get an ownership stake in a company that goes up onto this platform. And it's a way for, again, early stage businesses to get that infusion of probably a smaller bit of capital than you're going to see in, you know, angel investing or a VC, but it may be able to help them take that next step to then be ready for a larger infusion of capital.
Yeah, and little known fact is that Governor Doug Ducey signed a bill in 2015 to allow small businesses and entrepreneurs in Arizona to raise money from the general public through what you're calling what's called equity crowdfunding. So that was House Bill 2591. Just so our listeners know that this is not, you know, two crazy guys in Tucson, you know, coming up with this. And this has been in the works for a while, but there's a unique application here to Tucson. But this House bill allows companies to raise up to $2.5 million and non-accredited investors to give up to $10,000 each. You know, that amount of money is a really much needed middle step to companies to get going. I'm going to shift over to Edward Cruz, principal at Go for Vertical. We've had you on the air a number of times. Tell me just kind of the big picture of how this works. It's called equity crowdfunding. So if somebody gives a business $100, $200, $500, what does that look like for the investor? I'm assuming as the business gets more successful, there's a little bit of an equity stake that gets paid out to the investor, or what are the mechanics of this?
Right. So there are a few different ways that you can do these raises on WeFunder, and equity is one of the primary ways. So it's basically that they're going to allow you to get a stake in the company based on the amount that you invest. So they might be putting up, you know, saying, hey, we're trying to raise $100,000, and you know, at $1 million valuation, all of our investors are going to wind up with 10% of the company, basically. So if you do a fraction of that, you know, 100,000, that's what your fraction of that 10% is going to be. So it aggregates it over the investors in this crowdfunding campaign. They also do regular loans, though, right? Just like you might get in a bank, and also shares of future revenue.
Okay.
So that basically says, hey, you're going to get your money back, and plus some interest if it's a loan, or you're going to get your money back plus like a multiplier on it. That's how they do it with the share of future revenue.
Right. And we should probably talk about one of the other major partners of this is Startup Tucson, who we're all close with.
Yep.
And so Startup Tucson is not at the mic today, but they are in spirit because this was announced right around the 10 West Festival, which has a huge focus on entrepreneurship. So just kind of cool to see the tie-ins.
And that's what we really believe in is partnering. They are one of the primary players in the startup community. And so we are, again, trying to provide resources to help with their work and any other organizations that are in this space. I think it's one of the really interesting things about what Edward does is not only is he a business, his business up on WeFender right now looking for investment, but he actually works in the business acceleration space. Right. He's somebody who, which I really appreciate, he's the first in Tucson to get up there. He's a little bit of our guinea pig. And we just appreciate him putting in all the time and effort and going through the growing pains to figure out exactly what this is. He basically helped test it for us to make sure it was something that we thought would be a viable tool, a viable resource here for Tucson and Southern Arizona.
So, Edward, on that note, was it kind of a unique thing for, say, like Tucson to do to basically zone this in locally? Because Danny mentioned that someone sitting in Tucson could invest in some startup somewhere else. I mean, this is a national / global platform, but for Tucson to do what it did and to bring a global platform local, are we the first to do that, or one of the first cities to do that?
Yes, I think we are, with WeFunder at least. Yeah.
We are. There are a couple other cities that are doing something like it with WeFunder. We are the only city that's actually fundraised. Our organization has fundraised to bring a staff person who is going to be full-time, who's going to be trained by WeFunder and to work in this space. So we are we're the first to do that. But this is, again, there's probably two other cities that are looking at this approach. And as part of that, which is actually, I'm very excited about, they're going to build a local landing page for Tucson on their website so that Tucsonans eventually can go if they are, want to see what type of businesses are starting up. They can go to this page and, there'll be six, seven, 10 Tucson businesses. And it's really a marketplace of ideas. If people like what, like what your business is, they can then invest in it.
I'm excited because it'll put a spotlight on Tucson entrepreneurs and businesses.
Right.
And right now there's already over 300,000 people that invest on WeFunder. So if there's
incredible.
A Tucson page that they can all look at and see what amazing companies we're launching here, it'll be a really good thing.
Well, like I've been saying, because it caught some steam when I said on the air a couple months ago, Tucson is a town that likes to talk about its tacos and trails more than its tech and talent. And the more that we can talk about what we do have going on here, that's how momentum gets created. And you can't underestimate, once that snowball gets going. And part of it is just having these focus places to highlight, hey, here's the businesses and ventures starting up in Tucson. Here's how to invest in them. When we come back from the break, I want to talk with Edward and Danny about what this looks like from both an investor side, right? If someone listening goes, I'd love to invest $100 in a great Tucson idea, what does that look like? Or a business that may want to be invested in, and then what kind of business does this allow Tucson to help create and launch? What does this mean for the future? We're going to get into all of it here on the Creative City Show on 1030 The Voice after this break. Don't go away. Much more to come. Tucson, this is Zach Yenser, your host. We are back on the Creative City Show. We're talking about some important ways and a new partnership for helping great business and venture ideas get started in Tucson. And this segment, appropriately, is sponsored in part by HR Resolve, a local company designed to help other local, small, and mid-sized businesses provide the human resource services that will make your team feel like they're taken care of by a big company. So if you get to a point where you need a team, congratulations, you've taken a small business idea and you've made it grow. But I have found, and I'm a personal example of this, that often someone who can get an idea started, that can build it, is often not necessarily the one who can maintain it. And providing great human resource services to your company may just feel like something you know is important, but it's a burden on your back. That's why you should get a hold of Shanae and the team at HR Resolve at 520-867-8384 to start the conversation about how they can help you figure things out like payroll and healthcare and other things that make your teams feel like they're valued, feel like they're part of a bigger company, but they're working for a small Tucson or mid-sized company that they love and they want to keep working at. It's just the best of both worlds. 867-8384 is how you can get a hold of Shanae and the team at HR Resolve. So getting back to another resource that can help businesses grow, we're talking with Danny Nee and Edward Cruz here about a new exciting partnership that brings equity crowdfunding to Tucson, where people can invest as little as $100 into a startup or a new business they're excited about and be able to participate in the growth, the equity crowdfunding of this startup. So we talked about the nuts and bolts of it in the last segment, but tell me about the kinds of businesses that you see will be able to benefit from this. Is this a what we call mom and pop store? Is this a tech company? Is this an app? Is this entrepreneurship that we typically think about? Who gets to benefit from this partnership here in Tucson?
Well, based on what we've seen on WeFunder already, and if you went to their site at WeFunder.com, you would see a wide range of businesses. So a lot of times in the startup community, tech startups, for very good reason, are where a lot of the priority is. But I think the great thing about crowdfunding, and especially localized crowdfunding, is that there are cafes, breweries, there's just about anything you can think of. There's biotech, there's tech. So I think it has the possibility to help basically every sector of Tucson's economy. And that's the great thing. Here we are with Edward, who's, you know, a business who helps businesses. And that's something, it's basically a service business. And they are up on WeFunder. So I think it's almost limitless. That's, you know, I'm very optimistic, but it really does have the chance to help any type of business. And really what it comes down to is the marketplace. What do people want to see? What is it that they will potentially fund, and how good is the idea? Which is, that's always part of a new business and a new startup venture.
For sure. I'd love to ask Edward a question on that, and this can be a little bit more of an editorial or opinion answer. Sure. But in Tucson, our definition of entrepreneurship has been very broad, and there's a lot of value to that. But there's also some that say it can only be so broad for so long, in the sense of, you know, Tucson is such an independent, small business-owned, driven economy. But there's a certain kind of resourcing, focus, energy that has to be put towards some of that high growth tech and venture startup. Edward Cruz, which area of our startup ecosystem do you think would really find the most value from this? And is there a piece of the ecosystem that you would love to see this drive momentum in?
Sure. Yeah. Well, since I'm a tech guy, I would have to say tech, right? But the reality is like Danny was saying, there are so many other parts of our local economy that can be lifted up with this amazing opportunity. What I love about it is that even without the funding necessarily already in place, we were already starting to get some interest around it, getting some acceleration around entrepreneurs who are trying to do something amazing here in Tucson, and finding that there is that gap, that they didn't have access to capital, that they were not going to be able to raise here, they weren't sure how they're going to go to market or scale or grow their business. With that piece in place, it builds confidence, it builds a path for them to take. And I think it's something that can help basically any type of entrepreneur who is facing that problem and that now has a solution for it.
Right.
And one of the things that we're excited about is the actual full-time staff person that is going to be coming on, and in part because this is not something where we're just trying to push this one resource. It really is just another tool in the toolbox. But that person will be able to help people put together a campaign. First, vet whether this is the most appropriate funding model for what they want. And if not, refer to, you know, other potential places. And I think this is even what Edward's talking about is one of the groups that came out of startup from Startup Tucson from 10 West, who approached him, and you know, he put them together with a team of people. So they weren't necessarily ready for funding right at that minute, but helped to build a team that will maybe help them get ready. And the person that we're going to have on the ground is going to be doing part of that. And then also, because getting up on, you know, putting together a video and putting together your, you know, your pitch is an important part of that. And so we are going to actually have somebody who supports the businesses in getting up and running successful campaigns. So this is not a, it's not a volume play. It's not, you know, can we get 100 businesses up on the website? It's really this idea about, is this the right kind of funding for this kind of business? Is this the type of idea that we think is going to be able to fly? People can go up right now and get on to WeFunder. They don't have to go through our partnership. One of the advantages of going through our partnership is that the fee that WeFunder charges is generally, it's 7.5% of whatever the raise is, and they take that for the administration that they do. They do legal work, those types of things. But through this partnership and coming through CIC, they will get a 1% discount. So it'll be 6.5%.
That's cool.
And then on top of that, you have a nonprofit, a local economic development nonprofit who's going to be sort of carrying your banner and saying, you know, talking to people and trying to get people interested in going to the, you know, going to WeFunder and again, just seeing what opportunities are on there for businesses to invest in.
Right. And we're just listening to Danny Nee, the executive director of the Community Investment Corporation, and Edward Cruz, the principal of Gopher Vertical, helping businesses get started in Tucson here on the tech side, talk about this really exciting opportunity that is in between the family and friend phase of like, hey, I got an idea and, you know, you're my friend, you're my family, can I get a small check? And then the big dollar raises. There's a missing middle. And a House bill that Governor Doug Ducey actually signed in 2015 allows small businesses and entrepreneurs in Arizona to raise money from the general public through equity crowdfunding. So for as little as $100 and up to $10,000, people, whether they are friends or family or otherwise, can find an idea in Tucson that they think has the chance to do really well and can invest in it for also personal benefit down the road. Like if you're investing shares, you know, you're buying shares in a company, same concept. You know, it's interesting that I was talking with George Hammond earlier this week from the University of Arizona, and we're seeing job growth, but we're not seeing new business growth, right? So we're seeing decent job growth. We saw in 2017 to 2018, 0% business growth, which is the development of new businesses. So we're starting to see some existing businesses start to grow the number of people they're hiring, but we're not seeing new businesses start in Tucson like we are. And a lot of us are not happy about that. This is a way for people to put their money where their mouth is at. If you're sitting in Tucson and saying, why do we have 0% business growth? Do something about it. Invest some money into these businesses through this partnership to get people and their ideas off the ground. You can do something about it. Start with Danny and we'll go to Edward. What does it look like for an investor? If someone listens and go, I want to go see what ideas are in Tucson that I can go invest in, what are the next steps? What does that look like?
You would go to the WeFunder platform. Right now, the only business that's up on there from Tucson is Gopher Vertical. Again, we just announced the partnership and we're getting all the infrastructure in place to support it long-term. But you would go up on to WeFunder and it's something, again, equity investments, they are risky investments by nature. Basically, there's generally a long runway before you potentially could get paid back. And the returns are generally larger than, you know, you put something in a 401k. But people do should read over all the sort of risks that are involved with the investing. But I think that's where a lot of the information is. What we're also going to be trying to do with the person that we bring in is to basically also hold some gatherings so that people who are more interested in this, we can actually talk to them about what that investment looks like, what it means long term. I'm just a big fan of local economies. And it, again, I'm a both and guy. I think that we need to try to recruit national businesses like Sun Corridor does. But I also believe there are multiplier effects where when you invest in local people, they tend to spend locally. And that's a really, it's a really good thing. I think it's underestimated at times. And so this is a way, again, for somebody who lives here in Tucson, and you want to see the local economy, you want to see people do well, you would then be able to invest locally. And the other benefit that I think that happens from something like this is if I invest $100 in a company, I will basically go around to my friends and say, look at this company, you know, and start, again, becoming sort of a cheerleader for them. And I think that's helpful as well.
Edward Cruz, final thoughts as we close out the final minute or so. Someone wants to invest in what you're up to or see what those other companies are, next steps and why we should do it.
Right. So go to WeFunder.com. It's we, like we are in this together, right?
Okay.
WeFunder.com. And you'll see the GoPro Vertical campaign page on there and all the other companies that are currently listed on the site. They, I think, have about 40 different raises that are going at any given time. And they've done over, I think, 300 altogether and raised over $100 billion.
Amazing.
For companies. And the companies that have done raises in there have subsequently raised over $2 billion in further rounds of investment.
And we can do it in Tucson.
Exactly.
WeFunder.com. Thank you both for being in studio. We'll do another recap later on. Thanks for what you're doing.
Thanks so much, Zach.
Thanks.
Tucson, we'll see you to close out Friday at 9. Take care.